This is Dr. Evil, and you're listening to the Bob Culture Podcast, the most evil podcast of all time. Okay, now are you hungry? You want to go? A Hot Pocket? No? Gentlemen, welcome back to the Bob Culture Podcast, and I am stoked. We got a very special episode here, a one-of-a-kind interview here. I'm super stoked for this. Of course, I am joined by the drumming researcher herself, an associate professor of kinesiology. I know I said that wrong, but I'm working on it, at the University of Windsor. She's studying, of course, the biomechanics and motor control of drumming performance. Now, you've recently seen her on Drum Talk TV, and she's worked with the likes of Mastodon, Primus, Simple Plan, and many, many more awesome bands. Like I said, this is a one-of-a-kind interview, and I am super stoked to be joined by Dr. Nadia Azar. Nadia, or Dr. Nadia, thanks for a few minutes. How are you?
I'm very good, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, that was a mouthful. You know, there's a lot of stuff, you know, I said insert drummer joke here, but there's a lot of stuff I don't know about, but this is so interesting. Someone who studies drummers and, you know, I love like the little charts you put up with the pictures of the drummers from some of my favorite bands. This is really cool. So I appreciate coming on. Thank you so much.
No, that's great. Thank you very much for having me. And I appreciate you following and, you know, sharing my work and stuff. It's great.
Oh, it's totally awesome. So I got to ask you, you know, you got your PhD, you know, what did you study and, you know, what made you want to study that? What is your origin story here?
Okay, so my origin story. So I have my undergraduate degree and master's degree are in kinesiology, human kinetics, and I was studying at the time biomechanics and ergonomics. So essentially the study of the work-related injuries and the biomechanics associated with that. When I went on to do my PhD, I made a bit of a switch. I studied biomedical engineering, which was actually fairly similar in the sense that I was still studying injuries and had a lot to do with human physiology and neuroscience and biomechanics, but it was just a transition into the more engineering focus. But I always kept my roots with kinesiology, and when I was finishing up my degree, a position came up here at the University of Windsor, which is actually where I got my undergrad and master's degree, and it was in biomechanics, so I was able to interview for that and was selected for that position, so I've been here for almost 11 years now.
Good for you. That's awesome. And like I said, this is cool stuff. So I got to ask, how did the music come into play? Are you a music fan? Do you play? Are you a drummer? How did this all happen?
Okay, so yes, I am a music fan. Do I play the drums? Not really. I did when I was younger, just kind of fooling around. One of my friends, her cousin, installed his kit in her basement one summer, and we spent the whole summer playing, literally Enter Sandman, day in and day out. I don't know how her parents stood us there.
Nice. Awesome.
So I suppose if I had to, I could probably dive into my muscle memory and remember how to play it, but I don't play, although I used to play the piano as well. So I grew up around music. I have lots of family who are musicians. My husband plays the drums. My brother-in-law is a professional drummer as well. So I've kind of always been around it. How this research got started, it really kind of fell into my lap. History of how all this got started. I actually like to call it a dramatic turn of events, how a single tweet changed my career. Wow. Because it started with Mike Mangini, hence the dramatic turn of events. But literally one day I follow him on Twitter and he tweeted something out about his technique. And I took the bait and replied to the tweet saying, I would like to, you know, I'm a researcher. I'd love to study your technique, you know, message me if you're interested, not really thinking he'd even, you know, give it a like, let alone anything else. And it actually, within an hour or so, he had followed me and responded with a direct message, and we started going back and forth, and this all kind of sprang out of that, and the energy expenditure stuff came a little later when he again just sort of randomly one day on Twitter said, oh, I wonder how many calories I burned during a show. I think it's about this much. And so I emailed him. At that point, we'd been in contact for a while, and I emailed him and said, hey, you know, I have some stuff that might let us do this, and it won't, you know, impede your playing at all. And he was down with it, and we did that about a year ago at a couple of Dream Theater shows on their Images and Words tour. And it kind of sprang from there. Other drummers got involved. Jeff Burrows of the Tea Party, who is a Canadian band, and they're actually originally from Windsor. Jeff got word of it, and he was all about it too, so he offered to do it as well, and then it just kind of took off from there.
That's so epic. That's really cool. And so this is still what, about a year old, like fairly in its infancy, this project?
Yeah, it's, let me think about this. Mike and I started talking about, it was about 2 years ago that we started talking, and it's been about a year since I've been actively doing research.
Cool.
The first data collections with Mike and Jeff were last November, and about this time last year, I was already developing the drummer injury survey that I ran.
I filled it out.
Oh, great. Thank you.
No, it was super interesting, but go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, that's okay. So it's only been about a year that things have been really active. And over the summer was crazy. I got way more drummers than I anticipated getting in such a short period of time, which was fabulous. But I'm not done. I've got a few others on the radar, a few that are booked for November, and a couple more that have said they want to do it, but they don't have dates, North American dates scheduled yet. So they need to, you know, we're just waiting until that sort of thing happens. But yeah.
That's a good problem to have. That's awesome. You know, people are lining up. And that's why I asked if it was in its infancy, because the next thing I was literally going to say, like, it's so intriguing to me as a drummer. Like, I feel if I'm a drummer for a national act or a big band, like, sign me up. Like, there's probably a line, you know, waiting to get in touch with you. That's really cool stuff. I can think of a bunch of drummers I would love to see you work with. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But it's really cool, and it seems like the drummers are into it.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, because it's voluntary, all the ones who have volunteered so far have, usually their opening email to me has been, you know, I've always wondered how many calories I've burned. So, yeah, they've been really into it, and really excited to hear, you know, what their expenditures are. And now I added the heart rate monitor as well, so now I can look at that aspect as well.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, they've been really great about it, and really fantastic to work with, and I've had a couple other you know, I've had some help in recruiting from different companies like Drum Talk TV and Vader Drumsticks has been great in helping me recruit their, like, artists from their roster when they come to my area. So I've been able to get, you know, make contact with lots of great drummers that way. And same with Coalition Music as well. It's an artist management company out of Toronto. They manage the Tea Party, and I met them through Jeff. And so they also helped me recruit people from, you know, their artists as well. So it's been really great being able to get to work with some fantastic bands, a lot of them bands that I listen to and have loved for a long time. And so it's been really great.
That's really, really awesome. It's good to be you. And And I see, you know, you mentioned the heart monitor. I see you with all these famous drummers. You know, it looks like you got a good view of the concert too, you know, hanging out in that backstage area. Really, really cool. That's got to be a lot of fun. But I always see these, you know, I assume this is your equipment here, the armbands. I almost said wristbands. What exactly are those? Did you invent them? And what exactly do they measure?
Okay. So I did not invent them. They used to be commercially available. You could go to a sporting goods store and pick them up. They were actually the activity trackers that were used on The Biggest Loser, if you remember that show.
Oh, okay, sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so they're called, they're by a company that no longer exists, but they were called Sensewear, and the armbands are called Body Media Armbands. And they contain four different sensors. So they have a triaxial accelerometer, which basically measures motion in three main directions. So up, down, left, right, and front to back. They also have a galvanic skin response sensor, which measures the conductivity of your skin. And conductivity increases when you sweat. And then there are two temperature sensors in there. So there's a skin temperature sensor and also a heat flux sensor that measures the rate at which you're dissipating body heat. So the armbands come with a software program that takes the information from those four sensors and uses a prediction algorithm to estimate how many calories the person who was wearing the armband burned during the period that they were wearing it.
Got it. That's super interesting. I was going to say, there's probably like an algorithm. Yep, I gotcha.
Yeah. So that's the armbands. And then the heart rate monitor is, again, commercially available. I bought it at a place called Sport Check, but you can order them from Polar. It's called Polar Heart Rate Monitor. Polar's a company. But yeah, same thing, commercially available, and it just goes around your chest, and it measures not your EKG, but your heart rate, so how many beats per minute, which obviously increases with the intensity of the activity that you're doing.
I gotcha. And is the gear like pretty, you know, because the guys are flying their arms around, moving around a lot, sweating and all that stuff. As a drummer, is it like pretty light on them? You know, obviously they signed up for this. They know they're going to have all this gear on them. Is it pretty like, you know, does it allow them to move around pretty easily and all that?
Yeah, it doesn't impede their playing at all. The armbands are literally like, imagine putting just like a sweatband around your bicep.
Perfect.
And the heart rate monitor is just a strap that goes around your chest. So pretty much everyone who's used them have said that they forgot they were wearing it after a while.
That's so cool. That's awesome.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there's no wires to get in the way or weigh you down or anything like that. It just kind of wraps around and away they go.
Wow, really, really cool stuff. I'm excited to see like the future. I can't wait to talk about it. I'm excited to see some of these future artists you got coming on.
Yeah, I'm excited too.
So I'm stoked. So Dr. Nadia, on average, you know, how much exercise like does a drummer get? You know, obviously it depends. You know, I guess you work in terms of set length. You know, I see on there, but I guess is drumming essentially healthy? Is it good for you? Are there benefits? What are your findings?
Yeah, I mean, the total number of calories a drummer burns depends on, it's very individual. It depends on your body mass. It depends on the intensity of your playing, depends on your age, your metabolism, all kinds of things. But in general, yes, playing the drums, especially at a level like a professional drummer, is an intense activity. One of the things I want to do eventually is study non-professional drummers, so just recreational drummers, to see what kind of expenditures they're getting in, say, a half-hour practice session.
Sign me up. Show me where to sign. You got it.
Well, you have to come to Windsor.
Oh, well, there you go. Well, yeah, I got you. But
yeah.
Go.
So, but yes, definitely, you know, the professional drummers are right up there with professional athletes. And I'm not the only person to show this. There have been other research studies, some that were laboratory-based, others that were a combination of the lab and live concerts, that have shown that drummers are expending energy at the rates of professional athletes, in particular heart rate. They're up there with professional soccer players playing 90 minutes of soccer. And they play for, you know, some people's sets are anywhere from half an hour, some up to 90 minutes. Others I've done, you know, an evening with, like Dream Theater's set was, I think total playing time was somewhere around 2.5 hours.
Wow.
In a night. And they play, you know, 4 shows, 5 shows a week, depending on the tour. So, you know, they're getting a heck of a workout. So yeah. And I mean, what's fun about that is it demonstrates to people that playing the drums can be exercise, can be a workout. So for people who don't maybe want to go to the gym or don't want to play soccer or, you know, don't like sports, that sort of thing, if you're musical and you do play the drums or you might be interested in picking it up, you could do that. And you are actually getting some physical activity out of it. The flip side of the coin in showing the drummers themselves how much, you know, energy they're using and just what their heart rate is doing, you know, I know they all know that they're getting a good workout because they're dripping with sweat when they come off the stage, but it just reemphasizes to them that, yeah, you know, you may not necessarily think of what you're doing as athletic, but it is, and you need to train your body the same way a professional athlete would train for their sport to be able to handle it, to be able to handle the demands and to be able to play for not just a long time in terms of the set length, but to be able to play for, you know, to have a long career and be able to handle the physical demands of that task.
Wow. And this is a perfect segue. I wanted to ask you this, and that's really interesting that it's comparable to that of an athlete. But on your survey, I think if I'm allowed to mention, there were a lot of questions about the pain aspects. You know, there's a lot of drummer groups I'm involved with, a lot of stuff, obviously, with carpal tunnel, a lot of wrist problems. I'm seeing a lot of stuff with the back, you know, sitting on those thrones for a long time. You know, I see, you know, certain products come out. I've seen the stool with like kind of like that split right in the middle of the stool that looks kind of silly, but people say it helps their back. Are you kind of researching, like, you know, obviously I don't know if you're trying to like work towards a solution or anything, but you're kind of researching kind of like the fatigue and pain kind of stuff that drummers experience as well?
Yeah, absolutely. So these are actually two separate but semi-related studies. The energy expenditure stuff was something sort of fun that came out of these conversations with Mike that I decided to take into, you know, and develop it a little bit more. But my roots are with the drummer injury study, and that's where more of my expertise is in terms of, you know, the biomechanics and ergonomics. The goal of the survey was to sort of get the lay of the land in terms of how common are drumming-related injuries? What are the main kinds of injuries that people are experiencing? Which areas of the body are the most frequently injured? And the survey also contained a lot of questions about different playing characteristics and habits and things like that, so that I can try to find some relationships between those characteristics and reporting of injuries. The idea being, I can then take this information and go and investigate further to see if some of these things actually are risk factors for injury, meaning they make you more likely to report an injury if you do these things, or if some of them are protective, meaning that you might be less likely to report an injury if you engage in certain behaviors. For example, warming up and cooling down. I'm just in the process of analyzing all this data now, so I don't have really good answers for that yet. But I was asking those questions in the hope that I could see, you know, whether there's a relationship between reporting injuries and not warming up, or reporting injuries and not cooling down, or on the flip side, not reporting injuries and warming up, meaning warming up might actually be protecting you from injury. So that was the goal of the study, and I reported some of the results from that on my last segment with Drum Talk TV last week as well. I can talk about a bit of that here too if you want. But I'm still in the process of looking into the risk factor part and analyzing that data, hoping to have that out in the next few months. But the study is very much the foundation. Like the answers that I get from this study are not going to tell me that one thing causes another. The study's not designed to do that. It's designed to tell me whether there's an association between two things, and then I have to design other studies to investigate them further to really be able to determine whether one is causing the other.
That's super interesting. And I got to say, like, the other stuff you're doing with the, you know, the famous drummers and national acts, that's super interesting and all that. But the fact that you're also doing like the stuff with like the data on the pain and stuff that drummers go through, like, thank you for doing that, because it's not something you think people actually care about or think about. Personally, you know, like, there's some products out there that kind of address the situation, which is a good start. But like, even, you know, I'm 30, you know, I turned 35 yesterday. Shameless plug, right? No, I appreciate that. But like, playing the quints in high school in the marching band, those are those five drums inside on the harness, playing the bass drum freshman year and then snare for 2 years. The quints especially did a number on like my lower back. Never had any big problems, but still to this day, you know, never the same. I work, I teach drums all day. I do drum lines. I play in a band. I do other side projects with drums. So I'm on a throne a lot. I'm on different thrones at different studios, and you definitely feel it, you know, the back, you know, in your spine. So it's just like kind of good to know that someone actually is doing something. So thank you for that.
Yeah, no, when this whole thing came about and I started digging into, you know, looking into the literature to see what sort of research had been done on drummers and what haven't, I was shocked at how little had been done, especially on injuries. There were a handful of studies, and a very small handful at that, that had focused specifically on drummers. And actually, even at that, it wasn't drummers, it was percussionists. So drummers were lumped in with other forms of percussion, which they're, you know, they're totally different. I mean, even, you know, playing a snare drum in a marching band or a drum line is very different from playing a drum kit, is very different from playing the timpani, is very different from playing the congas. You know, they're all different, even though they're all technically membranophone percussion, never mind adding in like xylophone and, you know, marimba and other things like that. So I was really surprised at how little was done specifically on percussion, and even less so specifically on drummers. So that's when I decided to do this survey to say, like, you know, before I even start anything specific on technique and things like that, I need to know what's out there and what's actually happening to give me some direction on where to go next.
That's super cool. And again, super fascinating to me. I got a lot of drummer friends, so I'll definitely be sharing this interview. I think they'll be super stoked as well.
Great.
All right, let's get to some fun stuff here. Let's talk about working with some of these, you know, some of these famous drummers. I mean, what was that like? What was the experience like, you know, going to these shows, hanging out, watching the set? Are you just having a ball?
You know, it's yes. I mean, the short answer is yes. But at the same time, I'm there to work.
Yeah.
So it's not, you know, half of my brain is like, wow, this is so cool, you know, fan experience, but I'm not there for a fan experience. So I'm watching the show, but I'm watching it in a very different way than I would if I was just out in the crowd. And you know, not working and not on, you know, I'm paying attention to the start and end of the song. I'm, you know, making sure that equipment's working properly. There have been a few instances where there have been problems with the equipment. One in particular with Simple Plan, Chuck does a stage dive during the show and one of the armbands fell off and thankfully he caught it.
Yeah.
No getting it back, but you know, so he, you know, he gets back on the stage, he runs over to me, I put the thing back on, and away he goes back with the, you know, the rest of the set. So it's not the same as you know, being there as a fan. Is it very cool? Yeah, absolutely. But it is very different than just being a fan in the crowd and, you know, kind of getting lost in the show.
Absolutely. It's work, definitely. Has everyone been pretty super cool for the most part?
Yeah, I have to say that everybody that I've worked with has been great, you know, really helpful and accommodating, and you know, I try my best. You know, I always tell them, you know, I'll stay out of the way. I don't want to impede anything at all, and you know, they've been really great about, you know, whenever it's possible, they let me stay to the side so they can get good pictures for my promotional stuff and things like that. You know, if I can't. Sometimes the venue, it's just not possible and things like that. But no, they've been great. They've been, what I have found is working with drummers, they've been just a fantastic group as a whole. You know, everyone's been very welcoming and excited to hear about, you know, the work that's being done and wanting to contribute in some way and things like that. So it's been a really fun group to work with.
That's so epic. All right. I've been waiting 20 something minutes to get to this question. I'm so excited to ask you this one. Obviously, you know, I suggested to you, Travis Barker, obviously Blink-182, guy's a machine. I don't know if you've seen some of their stuff. I've seen him live, man, 7-8 times. I've seen him on essentially like a crane doing a drum solo. I've seen him go upside down on a drum solo, but not even just that, just doing the fast drumming all the time, the fast punk rock. Guy's a machine. He's crazy. I mentioned this to you in an email. I don't know if he's coming around soon. They just canceled their Las Vegas residency. He was coming to Atlantic City in New Jersey by me. They just canceled that. Blood clots in his arm, which is crazy. I know in the past he was using super glue to close up some of the stuff on his hands and fingers and blisters for years, which is not good. It's crazy. I'm sure you got some thoughts on that. But I would love to see you work with Travis. I mean, that's really, man, I mean, I think that just the numbers and the calories would be off the charts. Who are some drummers? Well, first of all, what would you think about working like someone like Travis and, other drummers that you're dying to work with, you know, dream kind of, appointments here? What are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, I would love to work with Travis. They were actually supposed to be in Windsor a couple weeks ago, and our show was canceled as well. I would love to work with Travis too. I have one drummer lined up. He's one of the ones, and I'm not going to say who. I don't really see who I'm working with before I do.
Yeah, I understand.
One drummer that I have lined up is it's a little outside of my musical wheelhouse, but I believe it's called technical death metal or something something speed metal. Anyway, it's ridiculously fast. I can't wait to work with him to see what kind of numbers he's going to put up.
I got some ideas, but go ahead. Interesting.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to that. I still can't believe some of the people that I got to work with this year already. Many of them are people that I would have said, I really would like to work with that person, that person, that person. So, and I have a few of the ones that are upcoming that are people like that as well that I would have thought, I'd really like to work with. So, it's kind of hard to list anybody without giving away who might be on deck.
I understand. Okay, good. Yeah, I won't try to get any exclusives. I'll leave it alone. But as soon as you post it, I'll promote it everywhere for sure.
That sounds great. Yeah, no, I don't say in advance just in case it doesn't materialize. So
that's smart.
And not, for any reason other than things like what happened with Travis, and I hadn't made contact with him before, so I can say that. But you never know.
All right, Dr. Nade, really, really all awesome stuff. Super fascinating. I wanted to ask you, what's kind of the end game here? What's the ultimate goal? Are you going to put out a book? Just keep doing the research? What's the next step here?
For now, the next step is just to continue doing the research and continue getting it out to the general public. Will I write a book eventually? Maybe. Once I have enough information to write about. For now, just doing continuing to do the energy expenditure study and publishing, drummer for drummer, each time I work with someone, just putting their numbers out there, and getting that information out, work with as many drummers as I can, and then continue with the injury study. So, like I said, right now I'm still analyzing a lot of the data from the survey. I'm in the process of writing a paper on some of that data to publish in an academic journal, but I also do intend to approach Drum Magazine with it, or potentially do another video and interview with Drum Talk TV to have the results get out to the public and not be stuck in a journal that only academics are going to read.
I gotcha, yeah. But really, really cool stuff. And real quick, where can drummers, obviously Dr. Nadia Azar on Facebook, where can drummers find you? Where can drummers connect with you? Where can drummers follow you?
They can follow me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. My handles for all three of those are the same. It's at Dr. Nadia Azar. And I post all the results from my studies on those three platforms. They can also find me through the University of Windsor's website. Email is the best way to get a hold of me if they want to contact me directly. And my email is my last name, azar5@uwindsor.ca. But really, social media is probably the best way to hear about what I'm doing and connect with me and other people on that. I usually do, when I post something, watch the comments for, a day or so that if people chime in, I can have a discussion with them or, answer questions or things like that. So those are really probably the best places to connect with me.
Awesome. Very cool. Hey, Dr. Nade, thank you for a few minutes. Really cool. In my mind, this is very unique. I think drummers are going to be knocking at your door, ready to go. I see a lot more research coming your way and on to bigger and better things. They're really, really awesome.
Oh, thanks very much. I hope so. And thank you for having me on your podcast. I really appreciate it.
All right. Anytime. It was a pleasure. And we'll talk to you soon. All right, Dr. Nade, good luck with everything. All the best.
Thanks very much. You too.
Hey guys, thanks for checking out this episode of the Bob Culture Podcast. Don't forget to support the show on patreon.com/Bob Culture Podcast for some great incentives. I'd like to give a shout out to my patrons Jay Crow, Shannon Kruz, and of course Mike and Michelle Vermillion from Sledgepad Innovations. Sledgepad is the bass drum dampening system used by national acts like Pink, Goo Goo Dolls, Cher, Collective Soul, and a whole bunch more. Check them out at sledgepad.com. And of course, if you're a fan of the show, please subscribe on YouTube, check us out at podbean.com, and leave me a review at iTunes.